Father, we thank you so much for your great word. Even in Rod's prayer, we can't help but think of how your word is an eternal word. It's not just like something that comes and goes. We thank you that everything we read here is of eternity because it's spoken by the eternal God, even you. Father, we thank you what Jesus taught us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And Father, as we take hold of your word this morning, as we even read your word during the week, help us to handle it rightly. Help us to look to your Spirit to guide us, to help us understand it. We know we don't understand this book by being brainy, but we understand it by being humble and allowing you to teach us. So I pray that you would do this for me, Lord, and for all of us this morning as we open your word. And we also ask too, before we launch into Hebrews 11, Father, it is our joy and privilege to bring before you various requests. So we ask that you would help Justin, who has weak lungs, that you would help him to make a full recovery. And also we ask that you would help Ern get sleep. We ask that you would comfort Margaret. And Lord, we also pray for everybody else who's finding life tough. And we thank you for living in this, how we live in this great country. And we do ask that you would turn it around in regard to being Christian, and where your truth is proclaimed even more, and where your laws are honoured. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, well, over the years, let me start off with a bit of a story. Over the years, as many of you know, our church, I've been part of the church for a while, but when I was a younger man, we used to have fantastic youth camps. Now, let's call them adventure camps, with the youth and with young people. And I'm going to mention one this morning. It's not one about a shortcut, so we're not talking about shortcuts today. But we're going to be talking about a fantastic camp that was to do with canoeing down the beautiful Murray River, down south of Dwellingup. And on this particular camp, on this particular day, it was a great day, you know. We started off canoeing down the Murray River, and there's rapids to negotiate. Man, they are fantastic. But also, in the section of river that we were going down, there were lots of big trees that had fallen right across the river, which meant you come to this log, got to get out, try not to fall in the water, get the canoe over the log, and then get back in. And there were so many of these. So as you can imagine, progress down the river was pretty slow. Not only that, there was big, long pools of water. And because they're long, big pools of water, there's no current. It's just hard yakka paddling away. Do you remember who went on those camps? You felt like screaming. Anyway, won't go there. But we also, on this camp, had a ground crew. Mitch, you were one of the ground crew. And Mitch had gone ahead of us to get camp ready. What does camp mean? Campfire, toasting marshmallows, eating yummy camp food. Yes, it can be yummy. And then going to sleep in a snug, dry, warm sleeping bag. What do you think of that? That's fantastic, right? Something to look forward to. Anyway, on this particular day, gee whiz, I don't know what was going on, but we were going so slow. And we normally get to camp by mid-afternoon, and mid-afternoon had come and gone. What do you think so far? Not too good, eh? Then it came to the late afternoon. I'm getting my map out. Where are we? I know we haven't passed the camp. Couldn't find out where we were. And then the sun started going down, and we're still canoeing. And now we're canoeing in semi-darkness. And we're so desiring to be in camp, and we continue, and it's now dark. Now, just try and picture canoeing down a river in the darkness, hearing water around you, not knowing, is that a rapid or not? It is really freaky. Anyway, we did this for a little bit of time before we realised, no more of this. Let's pull the canoes to a side. And John and I, my brother and I, decided to walk and run the rest of the distance, hoping to find the camp. Guess what? In 2 kilometres, we found it! We found the camp! It was so delightful. So good to see you, Mitch, it was. There we were. We found camp, and then we went back to get the rest of the people, and we just pulled the canoes into the bush, and we all walked, and we had a fantastic time toasting marshmallows, warming ourselves by the fire, having some nice food, bit of yarning, not too much yarning because everyone was exhausted, and then going to sleep in a nice, dry, snug sleeping bag. It was so good. Why am I telling you this story? Well, I can relate it to the Christian life. You know, it's hard yakka being a Christian. It is difficult. But we keep on going because of the hope before us. That's an important principle to live by. We're not living because we're going to go into some nice camp. We're going to be going into the courts of heaven. So much better. We're going to be coming into the very presence of our Father and the Lord Jesus with all the holy angels and all those who have died in Christ before us. That's where we're heading. So much more than an adventure camp, having a heart to keep on going and making it into the camp, we should be having a real desire to keep on going. Looking forward. That's the key. Looking forward. And that's what faith is all about. And this chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at the very first verse. It says here in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, this is a really good definition of faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See how the Hebrew writer wants us to understand that faith is looking forward. Just like we were looking forward to entering into camp, we're to be looking forward to the future, what's to come, what God has in store for His children. And I love how last week when we were studying the example of Abraham, did you notice that with Abraham? He wasn't just a happy chappy because he lived in Canaan. He was living for something else. It's a fantastic section of scripture. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Listen to verse 10. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What kept him living in that land? He hadn't even received that land as an inheritance for himself. It was for his descendants, because he had the hope before him of one day entering into the city of God, whose builder and architect is God. What a city. And we have that same hope. And you know, I can't help. I've got to keep referring to it. I know where Hebrews 11 is heading, of course, to 12. But in chapter 12, we have the greatest example of all of a person who looked forward in their life, always looking forward. It's none other than Jesus. And in Jesus, it says of Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, first of all, it tells us to do something. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. There it is. That's faith. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I hope you understand that Jesus didn't just die and rose again to save us. In his whole life, he's also showing us what it looks like to live by faith, to live for the things to come, looking forward. And it was the Lord Jesus who told us that important thing in Luke's gospel about anyone who puts his hand to the plough is not to look back. Otherwise, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. The only thing we are to look back at is communion. Look back to Jesus, what he did for us. But we're to look forward. Even in communion, as we heard this morning, is also looking forward. We look forward to the day when we'll be in glory. So I want to encourage us all, including myself, that though we get so consumed about the present time and the things that are happening today and tomorrow, that we learn to live as Christians should live, with our eyes to the future. Our eyes forward to one day being in the camp of God. And this is where Hebrews 11 comes into play. It speaks so much about how we're meant to be living. And so this morning, after looking at Abraham last week, we're going to be looking at the section from Hebrews 11, 20 to 29. We will be considering some of the saints of old. We'll be considering Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Moses' parents. I would urge you to look at their lives as it's presented in Hebrews and learn what it means to live by faith. Our whole life, our whole day should be about this. By faith. By faith I woke up and live for God today. That's how it's meant to be. I wonder if we think like that. Okay, well, let's begin by turning to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like us to read the first verses 20 to 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Now, do you find something surprising about those three people mentioned there? one of the things that surprises me is that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Hebrew writer doesn't speak about their faith while they were living. He actually only brings up about their faith at the end of their life. And it shows you that when it talks about living by faith, it's not just living by faith, it's dying by faith. Even on your deathbed, eyes still forward. You don't just go, oh well, lived my life, had a pretty good life, that's it. No, these guys had their eyes forward. How about that, eh? Beginning to end. Live by faith, die by faith. And so the Hebrew writer mentions specifically about the end of their life. And you know, I can't help myself here. I've got to mention a few things about their life, even though it's not here in Hebrew, because I love, especially in Jacob and Joseph, how they live by faith. You mind me just exploring just a few things about them? Like, I can't get over Jacob. People probably have heard me say, you know, I can't help but say, Jacob, the rotter. Jacob, the deceiver. He's just the worst person you could think of. And he's done some rotten things and his brother wants to kill him. And so what is he doing? Fleeing for his life, going to Iran, getting out of the way because he's going to get killed. And there he goes, he's going along and gets late at night. He wasn't canoeing, but it's late at night. And he gets to this place and he has a rock for a pillow. That's a bit silly. Anyway, there he is, and who meets him? Oh, this is an amazing story. God sees everything. He knows how bad Jacob's been. God meets Jacob in incredible grace and calls him. And Jacob, for the first time in his life, humbles himself and puts his faith in the living God. What a moving account. And his life was so changed. And he became a man of faith. He walked by faith. All those 20 hard years with his father-in-law Laban, he walked by faith. And when God said to him to return back to Canaan where your brother is, he walked by faith and went back. And I've got to read to you his words. I know he was full of fear as he's thinking about meeting Esau. And in Genesis chapter 32, listen to his words, a man of faith. He says, this is a prayer. He says, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you did say to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me, the mothers with the children. Verse 12, for you did say, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Do you see faith there? Look at his life, full of faith, full of thankfulness too. What an example he is to us. And then I've got to mention the faith of Joseph. What kept him going? You know his story, don't you? What brothers he had. They were going to kill him first of all, then they sold him as into the hands of the Ishmaelites for some money, and then he gets bought in Egypt to be a slave, and then he's wrongfully accused and thrown into the dungeon, and you can imagine, well, give up all hope, might as well, everything's gone bad. But no, he remembered the very special dreams that God had given him, that one day God would make him a leader and he would be used for God's purposes. By faith he lived. Otherwise he would have been a broken and messed up man. By faith he lived. And he had the joy to behold that day when he went from the prison to become the prince of Egypt. It's an amazing story. And I want to help you remember that through all that discouraging time, he walked by faith. What an example. But the Hebrew writer doesn't even bring these things up. I would have, but then again, if we start talking about faith, Hebrews 11 would be like mega big. Can you imagine how big it would be? Be the biggest book in the world because there's so many stories of faith. So why does the Hebrew writer concentrate upon Isaac and Jacob and Joseph in regard to the last part of their life? Like I said before, because it's such a good example of people having faith right to the end of their life and they're still operating by faith. They are looking to the future. They're looking to what God's purposes are. Not like yet. I've lived my life, I'm happy with that. No, they are so caught up by faith with God's purposes and plans. And you notice how this is caught up here in Hebrews 11, 20-22. What did Isaac do? Isaac comes near to the end of his life. I know this is quite an interesting verse, this one, because we know that Isaac was to put the blessing upon his children. One would receive the great blessing, one would receive a lesser blessing. And Isaac had already worked out it's going to be Esau. And Rebekah, his wife, wanted it to be, what a messed up family this is, wanted it to be Jacob. And so you have this situation, he's blind, and you have Jacob deceiving his brother who's blind, his father who's blind, to receive the bigger blessing. But you know, it's like God overruled it all. And Isaac had a suspicion it was Jacob. And it's amazing. It's like the Hebrew writer wants you to realize, by faith, Isaac ended up doing the right thing, doing the will of God. And he proclaimed a blessing upon Jacob, the deceiver who would be transformed. And the lesser blessing came to Esau. And the Hebrew writer wants us to see that he was operating by faith, seeing what's ahead and doing that. And then you have the story of Jacob. Jacob also is blind. The two sons, his grandsons, the two sons of Joseph come to him, Ephraim and Manasseh. And you remember that interesting story, how he crossed his hands and the greater blessing fell on the younger and the lesser blessing fell on the older, which is not the cultural norm, because he was looking forward to what God's going to do with these two sons. The emphasis in the book of Hebrews is, look what they're doing. They're looking forward. They're looking forward to God's will and purposes. And then we come to Joseph. And we don't have a great mention of Joseph's life except at the end, where he tells us in Genesis chapter 50, we read there how Joseph told the Israelites, he gave them a command that when I die, then you are to make sure my bones are kept and you are to bring my bones into the land of Canaan, because God will deliver you. And by declaring this, he was encouraging the people to remember they're not going to stay in Egypt forever. God would deliver them. See, Joseph, looking forward, looking to what's to come. I reckon he didn't understand, though, the whole story. Imagine if he knew this, hey? My bones in my coffin, we're going to be going through the Red Sea. Wow! But he knew that one day, whatever, however it was going to be, he would be taken out of the land of Egypt, brought into the land of Canaan, and he'd be buried there. Even on his deathbed, he's looking forward. That's how we've got to be, looking forward. Looking forward to the future. I hope you realise that as Christians, God has revealed so much about his purposes and plans to us. Isn't that right? We do not live in ignorance. So as we think of the future, no matter how bad the world gets, there's some big things we should know because God's revealed it to us. We know that nothing will overcome the church. Praise God. It will continue. We know that this day and the days until the coming of Jesus still continues to be the days of grace, when anyone who would humble themselves and turn to Jesus can be saved and will be saved. They're great things to remember, to look forward to, especially when you get disheartened and disturbed by the things happening in our world. You've got to live by faith. Look forward to the plans and purposes of God. We are by faith jumping into a big build. By faith we believe this is God's will. By faith we believe God's going to work it out. We've got to live by faith. That's how it is. That's how it's meant to be for Christians. And of course we know even more than just that. We know that the future is amazing. We shall live in the city of God and be blessed every day by his presence and glory. Wow, what a future. And we are to live by faith. Okay, we're now going to turn to the rest of our Bible reading and look at Moses. And not only Moses, but Moses' parents as well are mentioned. Let me read the next section. I'll just read verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Do you remember what the decree was in Egypt? Pharaoh was very disturbed by the number of Israelites. And so he came up with a plan that all the male babies of the Israelites were to be put to death. And so that's what Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, had to live under. So they were required by the authorities to put to death Moses when he was born. But they didn't. They didn't fear the king's edict. Why was that? It says here, because Moses was a beautiful child. Well, that's a bit funny, isn't it? For every parent, their child is beautiful. It means more than just that. It doesn't mean they looked at Moses and go, oh, look at Moses. He's so beautiful and handsome. What it meant is, the whole chapter's about faith, they perceived that in their son was someone really special. They had to do everything they could, risking their lives, to keep him alive. That's why, by faith they were doing this. They knew something was special about Moses. And so, we even know part of the other story, you know how they, 3 months comes by, he's getting older, he's making more noise, we can't get away with it anymore. Can you imagine this? It's all by faith. By faith, they made a basket, put it in the Nile River where there's crocs and hippos, by faith, trusting God. Because if this child is special, God's going to somehow deliver him. And he did. And who did Moses meet? That princess of all people who had a soft heart towards him and adopted him to be one of his sons, her sons. Amazing story. But look at Moses' parents. By faith. That's how we're to live. By faith. And then we come into Moses' life, and we have three great verses about Moses here, if we could string them together, 24 to 26. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What do you reckon the key phrase is in this section, based on what Hebrews 11 is about, and what faith, how faith is defined? What is the key phrase there? Looking to the reward. That's what kept Moses going. What reward? He was looking forward to how one day God would deliver himself and God's people from the land of Egypt and bring them into the land of Canaan. He was looking to the reward. And that helped him live, not only live by faith, he don't only live by faith in that regard, but look how he lived. So as a result, when he came of age, and he was one of the up-and-coming princes of Egypt, it says very clearly that because of the reward before him, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he rejected the sinful and worldly pleasures of Pharaoh's court. Because of the reward. Because of faith. And I can't help but see a parallel here for us. What do you think? Big parallel here for us. If we are really living for the reward, living for Christ and his blessings, then we are going to be living like Moses. We will be refusing to be a somebody in this world. We'd rather be happy to be a servant of Christ, even if we are despised. And we will say no to the worldly and sinful desires of this world, because it's far better to be honouring Christ, living for the reward, than enjoying the pleasures of sin that are here today and gone tomorrow. And that raises a question. How many of us are really living by faith then? Because as we should know, we are so caught up at times with our own ego. We are caught up with worldly ways. It shows us that we are lacking faith. We are lacking looking to the reward. We are not content with Christ alone. It's like we are caught in the middle. And Moses is a great example. Just make the decision. Break it. Do not live for status in this world. Do not live for sinful desires. What an example. Walk by faith. Live for the reward. Jesus put it like this. Live for this. For one thing. Remember this, when Jesus will say, think of Jim going home to glory. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we should be living for. Living for that. And I can't help but look at verse 26 and, gee whiz, it says here, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for to the reward. Christ is mentioned. But Moses didn't really know Christ yet because he hadn't come. It was still a mystery. He was the mystery hidden until the time came. But yet, somehow he knew something more than we can understand here about Christ, God's Son, and living for him. So may we live for what is to come. May we live for the reward. And you know, I can't help but think of the way the Apostle Paul describes it. Living the Christian life is not easy, because it says here in Hebrews 11, it talks about how Moses bore reproach. He bore suffering as he identified himself with the people of God. And I think of what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, where you have those words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. What does that language mean? That means that he's been struggling and straining. There's been a fight on. What fight? Against the devil. Against sinful desires. Against living a pathetic life that doesn't do anything. Fighting all that. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Look at how he looks forward. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There it is. That's faith. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's how we've got to live. Walk by faith, not by sight. And just finishing three more verses, which are all about Moses, let me just highlight just briefly three more things we can learn. So these are verses 27 to 29. Verse 27 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now I know that's an intriguing verse, because in Exodus chapter 2 verse 15, it says that he did fear the king. Alright, that's what it says. But I want you to realize that there was a change. What happened is that Moses, I'm the deliverer, I've worked that out, God's will. I am going to take things into my own hands. There's an Egyptian being really mean to one of the Israelites. I'm going to sort him out. No one's looking. I'll take him down. So he kills him. Well, he messed things up. Pharaoh finds out he's going to kill Moses. Moses gets really scared and flees. But you know, as you read the account, you realize that Moses doesn't become just a man who turns away from God and away from his calling. I don't know when it was, but he recovered. I can relate to this. What, in what way? Man, we can mess things up, but it's not the end of the day. We have to put faith into action. We've got to trust God that he will still sustain us and use us for his glory. That's what I believe this verse is about. It says there, verse 27, by faith he left Egypt. By faith, it says, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. So as he left that land, as he settled down, I messed things up, he was able to trust God that God would protect him, not just because he fled, because they could easily have sent people to kill him, that God will protect me and somehow achieve his purposes through me. By faith. Hey, do you mess things up? I do. Don't think it's the end of the world. God can sort it all out still. It's good to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness and enlist yourself to his service again. That's what I learned from that verse. But it's all by faith. By faith in the fact that God is a gracious God. He doesn't count all our sins against us. Do you know that? Otherwise I'd be done for. I would have given up preaching a long time ago and anything like that. He's a gracious God. What about verse 28? What can we learn from that? By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Well, I can't help but think of one thing here. Jesus! So, and why is that? Well, I can see here by faith, Moses did something pretty unusual. Don't you think it's unusual? He gets told he's got to take a lamb, he's got to kill the lamb and put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost of your house so that the angel of death will not kill anyone in that house. Like even that saying that story sounds like people of the world would go, oh, that's just a crazy myth and legend. What a crazy story that is. But Moses did it. By faith. You know what I think is crazy too? We say, we turn to Jesus to be washed in his blood. Do you realize the world laughs at that sort of stuff? That's crazy language. But not to us. How precious it is that we apply the blood of Jesus to our sinful soul and be cleansed by faith, believing that he who does that or she who does that is fully forgiven of all their sins. By faith we do these things. Whatever God has decreed, we do because we trust him and we know that there is salvation by doing what he says. And the last one, verse 29, it says, by faith, Moses and the people, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And friends, I've got to say to you, when I'm thinking about this verse, I'm thinking, wow, let me picture this. Here we are, the Israelites have escaped out of Egypt under Moses' leadership, and there they are, they're sort of hemmed in the desert, there's mountains on either side, there's a big Red Sea in front of them, and then all of a sudden, what does the story say? The Egyptians have had a change of heart, and they see the dust of the chariots and the horses coming down to them, and they're going to slaughter them. And then Moses steps forward, under God's command, strikes the water, the Red Sea parts, and then what do you have to do? First thing is, by faith. Don't forget that little phrase. By faith, you then had to step into the dry bit of the Red Sea and go along there. Now just picture doing that, right? There's a wall of water on either side of you. This is really unnatural. There's a wall of water. I'll be going, I hope it doesn't fall on me. What about you? I hope everything's going to be okay. By faith, you have to walk through that. And that's what we're called to do too. I can't help but see the picture of us. I am called to walk the narrow way of Christ. And I know, as I walk that narrow way of Christ, around me is a hostile devil and a hostile world that just wants to come down and crush me. But by faith, I walk this narrow road. I trust the leader, not Moses. The leader is Christ. I have my eyes on him. By faith, I walk this path until I enter the presence of Jesus and know and experience him forevermore in all the fullness and wonder of Jesus. Wow. What do you reckon of all these lessons, eh? So many here. I had to stop. You know, I was going to do a bit more this morning, but I thought, man, we'd be going for hours. All right, so I've got to stop there. Can I encourage you to read these verses yourself and learn what it means to walk by faith? The key thing is you've got to learn to look forward. Look forward to what God is doing. Look forward to the reward. And as you look forward, God's going to be delivering you when you mess it up or helping you when you mess it up. He's going to be continuing to wash you of your sins, and he's going to be delivering you even though you feel like a great wall is going to fall on you. That's our great God. Walk by faith. Okay, so now we're going to sing a song called Faith of Our Fathers. Thank you for this great chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11, and thank you for the Hebrew writer being faithful in declaring to us how we are to walk by faith. And we ask that you would help us to do this more and more, better and better, because we are so prone to walking by sight. We're so prone to living for this day only and not looking to what you're doing in the future and the promises and the rewards ahead of us. Help us, Father, to be living because we have a great camp to go to, a great home to go to. We are not citizens just of Australia. We are citizens of heaven. Help us to be living in the light of our hope and living by faith. Lord, please would you help us to resist the temporary pleasures of this world, to reject a worldly fame and fortune, to forget about being a somebody of status, but to just be content being a servant of Christ. Lord, help us to really live by faith. And I ask this whole church, Lord, of all of us together, we'd be growing in faith, not only keeping the faith, but growing, and that we might be people who you can use, like Joseph and all those people, for your glory and honour. Thank you for today, Lord. And we thank you for how you speak to us. I thank you for speaking to me during the week about these things too. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.